Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
I feel like I've always been sort of just on a journey toward my own happiness and just like, I want to do this.
That's the familiar voice of Jeff Meese, pizza man, entrepreneur, and the man with the water buffaloes in Bloomington, Indiana. As we approach our one-year anniversary here at Earth Eats, we're bringing back some of our favorite episodes, like the visit Chef and I took to his farm on a cold, cold day last February. Then one of my favorite recipes, oyster stew. It's Surf and Turf on this Greatest Hits edition of Earth Eats. It's time for some news bits with Earth Eats news correspondent Megan Meyer. Hey, Megan.
How's it going, Annie?
Oh, it's great. What do you got for us today?
Unfortunately, Annie, I'm here today to talk about some of the perils of a carnivorous diet.
Oh, no!
The first story probably doesn't apply to many of you, but the Centers for Disease Control recently released a study showing that eating bear meat can be risky business. In an analysis performed between 2002 and 2007, researchers found nearly all of the non-pork cases of trichinosis, a form of intestinal parasite, came from bear meat. Now, bear is a pretty rare meat, but the ever-popular chicken is not to be trifled with either. Consumer Reports tested nearly 400 chickens from 100 stores across the U.S. and found that two-thirds of the samples were infected with either Campylobacter or Salmonella. The tests showed that air-chilled chickens were the cleanest, with only 40% harboring pathogens. But most chickens are not air-chilled. They're chilled by being dunked into cold, chlorinated water.
Boy, I bet it feels pretty good to be a vegetarian or a vegan right now.
Totally. Well, on the brighter side, a team of scientists have determined how to buy fish so it's safer for the environment. If you're an eco-conscious seafood fan, you're probably aware of the complex sustainability issues around buying fish and other seafood. Is wild-caught better than farmed? Does organic make a difference? The Daily Green published a story that said opting for frozen fish over fresh is one of the most important choices a consumer can make for the environment.
We've measured differences in greenhouse gas emissions up to the point of production. A lot of those tend to get swept away if you're then having to ship this thing by air a great distance.
Peter Tidemares is an ecological economist at Dalhousie University. He says that if you live inland, far from the source of your seafood, buying fresh almost guarantees the use of air freight transport.
Much better off to have it frozen at source, move through the supply chain in refrigerated, containerized ships, and have relatively few transport-related greenhouse gas emissions.
Peter also gently reminded us that the best form of transport for the environment is no transport at all. So buying locally is the best way to go, even if that means buying freshwater fish instead of salmon.
News stories like this available on our Twitter feed all week long. Just look for Earth Eats, one word. Earth Eats news correspondent Megan Meyer, you're awesome. Thanks for coming in.
Great to be here.
Oysters. Eat them baked, breaded, fried. I love them raw on the half shell. As we settle into colder temperatures, try fixing your oysters in a stew, like in this recipe.
What we're going to start with are the leeks. Now, if you aren't familiar with leeks, it's in the member of the allium family, which is the onion family. The outer leaves of the leek, the real dark green ones, they can tend to be a little bit tougher. So just set these aside and use those in your vegetable stock or your chicken stock or if you want to make a potato leek soup. But we want the real tender, light green and white part of the leek for this stew. Okay, I'm just going to cut it in about a quarter inch dice. Okay, next I've got my pan on the fire. I'm just going to chop up some garlic quickly. Okay, I'm going to add some butter to my pan. Quickly add these leeks. And it's okay to have a little bit of that water go in there because that will prevent them from browning. Okay, we're going to add that finely minced celery. All right, now we're just going to add our seasonings. One of my favorites, again, some lemon zest. Okay, I'm going to add a little bit of cayenne pepper for our heat. I'm going to add a couple sprigs of thyme. And now what we're going to do is just add our half and half. Once this comes to a boil, we add the oysters. In the meantime, I've toasted some nice baguette bread, and I've pre-warmed our bowls. So once this is done, we're going to be able to go straight to the table, which is very important. All right, it's come to a full boil. I'm going to add the oysters with the liquor. The liquor is the juice that is from the oysters. Now, the most important part of this dish is not to overcook your oysters. So you want to cook them until what I call they smile, okay? The little edges around the oyster are going to start to wrinkle up and smile at you. And we are there.
What's the saying? Only eat oysters in months with an R. Well, we've got a couple months of that left, January, February. So enjoy this hearty oyster stew. Print the recipe from our website, eartheats.org. There was our surf, and now to the turf.
My big city friends know I love the good life. They say I'd only last about a month out here in the Midwest without my creature comforts like fresh buffalo mozzarella imported from Italy. How wrong they were, though. Within months of moving back to Indiana, I met Jeff Meese, and I was reassured that not only would my favorite melt-on-my-tongue cheese be available, but it wouldn't even need a passport. American bison and the water buffalo are completely different animals. It's thought that early explorers who came to our shores saw a bison, and because they thought they were in India, they called them buffalo. Jeff is one of the very few raising water buffalo in America. I love his combination of eclectic interests, entrepreneurship, and energy. On this snowy, wintry day, I'm visiting Jeff on his farm with his new herd.
I'd heard of mozzarella di bufala for a long time, but it's like, why didn't I ever wonder what that was? You know, what was the story with that?
What makes the mozzarella from the water buffalo different from, you know, if they did the same process with goats or cows or sheep?
Okay. Well, you got to understand that I'm not a cheesemaker yet. but what I understand from asking that question to people is that, number one, water buffalo milk is much higher in butterfat. So you've got that heavy fat creaminess to it. I'm told that the fat globule is just, it's different. Mm-hmm. Even if you took butterfat out of cow's milk and added it back in, you couldn't make the same kind of thing.
What I found so interesting about it is that it's a very fresh product. It's not aged. They basically stretch these globules out and it's ready to go right away. And it's kind of the fresher the mozzarella, the better.
The buffalo is an old breed. You know, it's been a friend of man. In a lot of poor places around the globe, they've been considered the friend of the peasant because they survive on such low-grade feed. You know, where places where the people barely have enough to eat or don't have enough to eat, you know, what do you feed the animals? Like, I've been trying to make the buffalo down there a bed out of straw, but they keep eating it. They eat all the darn straw. So they seem to prefer the straw to the hay. This is, and let me tell you a little bit about this herd. Myrtle and the big white one, and Myrtle's little orange daughter, Ginger. Come on, Myrtle. Come on. Let's get a bagel. So they came from one herd, and they were quite tame. Hand-fed, all that. The other ones were kind of range animals. One is just won't even come near me still. A couple of them sort of seem like they're ready to take me out.
Now, with I always think of water buffalo coming from kind of warmer areas.
Yeah.
How do they do out here in the snow? We're standing out here in a kind of a post-blizzardy day with, 15 inches of snow. How are they dealing with it, and do they enjoy the cold weather?
There are several water buffalo farms in Canada now. One of the only two that exist in the U.S. is up in Vermont. So they seem to do fine. They're very adaptable. It's a very hardy animal.
I love their breathing.
Jeff Meese is an entrepreneur and owner of many an eatery in Bloomington, Indiana. Another Greatest Hits episode will be coming your way next week with a tasty recipe for cold weather greens. And for you adventuresome carnivores out there, we'll be preparing offal. If you don't know what that is, you'll definitely want to join us next week. Looking ahead, we're cooking up some new episodes, recipes for eggplant, a fun look at my favorite meal, breakfast, and we'll get all romantic in our Valentine's Day special. Podcasts, photos, and recipes all on our website, eartheats.org.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop. Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.